Hey everyone, this is Jeremy. This is going to be a brief recap of the first lesson we had in our Sunday evening series on the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, the microphone batteries died on that during that class, and so I wasn't able to record the whole thing. So I'm going to now just recap what we covered in that to have a basis for people to listen to who weren't able to attend the class, and then I anticipate we won't have any problems going forward. But we began by recommended a book called Transforming Presence by Daniel Henderson. It's one of the best books that I think I've ever read on the Holy Spirit. I think he's very balanced in his approach. He makes a very good distinction between the way that the Spirit operated and functioned and was used by God between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And the focus of his book is squarely on the New Covenant and the idea that the Holy Spirit is an actual person who resides within us. And by person, we're referring to the idea of agency in the same way that we would refer to God the Father or the Son as being persons. So the Spirit is the actual living presence of God, of the Godhead, within us. And the purpose of the Spirit within us is to bring about the glory for Christ and the purposes of God. Now, some verses that we can quickly look at that will tie down that idea for us, that's going to be a foundational idea moving forward, are from Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians. In Philippians 2, Paul writes to the believers, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. The idea that Paul portrays there is that as we are seeking and working to grow spiritually and to understand the gospel more deeply, God is at work by his Spirit within us to give us both the desire and the ability to do what needs to be done with the purpose of fulfilling his own good purpose. So we see there that the work of God within us, and that work is accomplished by his Spirit, ultimately fulfills God's purposes. So the Spirit exists to help God accomplish what God wants to do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, "Now to him," speaking of God, "who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." And there Paul references the power of God and says that power is working within us. And finally, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, he writes, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." In this verse, Paul very clearly makes mention of the glory of Christ and the hope of glory, rather, that we have, which is based on Christ in us. Christ does not live physically within us, of course, but he lives within us by his Spirit. So there's several approaches that can lead us to a misunderstanding when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And those are, first and foremost, that there's a lot of division over opinions about the Spirit. You could probably contact five totally different denominations, and each of them would give you a different understanding of what they think the role of the Spirit is. It's also possible that we have a fear of the unknown. We don't know the Spirit. It's not something physical that we can grasp onto or hold onto. And because of all the differences of opinion, it's something that's unknown to us, so we may be afraid to study it too deeply. It's also possible that there might be too much emphasis on experience. Some groups probably overemphasize experience and trying to understand the Spirit. They don't stay rooted in the Word. But in contrast to that, there are some groups, and perhaps ours is one of them, that puts too much emphasis on an intellectual understanding of the Spirit. And as we could read about very easily in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, There are some things, namely the things of the spirit, that we cannot just grasp with our intellect. They have to be understood spiritually, and we need the Spirit's help to do that. So too much emphasis on intellectualism backfires for us as well. Sometimes we can have too much emphasis on emotion and environment. So we might find that we are looking too deeply into the worship experience itself. And because we're looking too deeply into the worship experience, then we find that we are we're missing the point about what the Spirit is and what the Spirit's trying to do. And finally, we probably put too much emphasis on ourselves as independent. We pursue Christian life as though it's all about strictly the decisions that we make, the ability for us to do this or that thing. And we forget, for example, Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes that God is at work within us, helping us to achieve his purposes. So when we focus only on what we're trying to do and what we're able to do, we miss the help that God is trying to give us. Let's look at Scripture. In Scripture, in today's lesson, I want to focus mainly on the Gospel of John. And I want to develop some ideas out of the Gospel of John to show us what a key purpose of the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit is actually pretty prominent in the Gospel of John. And in that Gospel, we see two things. In Jesus' earthly ministry, we find that whatever Jesus did, he did it for the Father's glory. But when Jesus was going to leave, in other words, when he was going to die, be resurrected, and then ascend to the Father's right hand, he was going to send the Spirit who would do the same thing for him that he did for the Father. And so the Spirit's role in the Gospel of John, as John teaches us, or really as Jesus teaches us, and John preserves it for us, the Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus. So we can look at some verses that indicate this. In John chapter 11, verse 4, as Jesus is getting ready to deal with the death of Lazarus and then his resuscitation of Lazarus, Jesus, upon hearing that Lazarus is sick, says, "This sickness will not end in death," chapter 11, verse 4. "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So Jesus is going to go and bring Lazarus back to life, and he's going to be glorified in that, but the sign of that bringing Lazarus back to life is going to ultimately bring glory to the Father. In John chapter 13, as Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, and now he's talking about the way that Judas is going to betray him, and then the way that Peter's going to deny him, he says in verses 31 and 32, "Now, the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once." So there's a way in which Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, again, while bringing glory to him, ultimately gives the proper and ultimate glory to the Father. And in Jesus' prayer for the disciples in chapter 17, in verses 1 and 4 and 5, Jesus prays and he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." He's praying and asking God to glorify him, and yet he says, "If you glorify me, I will in turn glorify you." So the purpose of what Jesus was doing in his earthly ministry is that he would do what he did in order to bring the Father glory. But when he leaves, he's going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit is now going to give glory to Christ. So in chapter 15, verse 26, as Jesus has been teaching about abiding in him as the vine and we are the branches and we must abide in him in order to bear fruit, he transitions to talking about the way that the world will hate the disciples. But then he says in 15:26, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." So in John 15:26, Jesus is talking about himself sending the Spirit. The Spirit comes from the Father, of course, but the Spirit is going to be sent by Jesus in order to testify about himself. So we see that the Spirit has a role of teaching the gospel. Testimony about Jesus is going to be understood as testimony about the gospel, about the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And so the Spirit's role is to provide that testimony. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so what the Spirit testifies about is going to be the truth about who Jesus is. In chapter 16, verses 13 and 5 through 15, Jesus says things even more clearly. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So there we see that Jesus is going to provide the testimony about himself that the Spirit will then present. What the Spirit presents will be truth. The Spirit will also guide into all truth. So when we understand that one of the key roles of the Spirit that resides within us, that one of the key roles for that Spirit is that he will guide us into all truth. He will protect us in our understanding of what the truth about Jesus is, and he will then continue to testify about that truth. So we can understand that one of the roles of the Spirit is to help us understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to understand that gospel more deeply, and to understand how that gospel applies to us. We could look at a few more verses in John, but everything blends together for us to indicate to us that the Spirit is going to be sent by Jesus to help us. Jesus in John says nothing about the Spirit coming in weird ways. He says nothing about the Spirit descending upon a worshiping body. But what Jesus says about the Spirit is that the Spirit will be sent by him from the Father. It's the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit will guide us into all truth. In John, the role of the Spirit is to help Christian believers understand the gospel and to grow in their faith. It's a tremendous thing that God saw fit in his tremendous and glorious wisdom to give us of himself in a way that would ensure that we never lack for anything spiritually, and that we have everything that we need to be able to grow and to grow up in our faith and to grow deeper in our understanding of him and of his way of salvation. Thank you for listening to this. This was, again, just a very brief summary of week one of the new series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions, feel free to get in touch with me. You can contact me through the website if you're listening to this off of that. If you're part of the church here, you know how to get a hold of me. And we'll be looking at this for another 8 or 9 weeks. So if you have any questions, let me know, and I'll be happy to try to build them into a future lesson. I hope this was helpful and instructive, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks again.